The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Marco emptying the vault on every baseball song he can possibly get his hands on, because it's opening day, Thursday, March 30th, 2023. We've got Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in the studio. Sherman, you recognize the tremendous amount of energy I brought to that commercial break, and you asked Nate to match it. Impossible. He won't.
No, I mean, he wasn't barely awake.
Right, he's been
commercial.
Yawning. He's out of it.
He's stressed.
He's checking emails.
I was saving it till the
he's out of
the
it.
Air.
Let's get right to this. What? Explain this. Do you have something to do with this? Well, I saw this. I said this has got Gary Dieter's fingerprints all over it.
It should.
What the hell is this?
It should have been. No, I saw that.
That's pretty cool.
Same time everybody
it
else
is,
saw
but
it.
I just like what? Like I saw like what's going? It was startling. So, and if you don't know what
so
I'm talking
Gary's
about,
Gary's been in judges DMs before.
He, oh yeah,
he's a big fan. Really excited about.
Yeah, I met him. 4 years ago, five
so
years ago?
What I'm looking at here is a picture of Aaron Judge wearing a number 99 Judge Chiefs jersey, and then Travis Kelce wearing a number 87 Yankees jersey. This has to give you a tremendous amount of satisfaction, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fake Yankees jersey because we don't throw the names on the back, but, I mean, it's a good look.
Right.
It's a good fit. I mean, he looks like he...
You criticize it because it's something that I'm sure you'd love to see, but... Still, you like it. You like the idea of it.
Yeah, I've seen Kelce play a little baseball. I wouldn't want him on the Yanks, but he can play on, like, the Royals or something.
What do you think of that, Anthony Sherman?
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
We don't put the names on the back. This guy over here, it sounds like he's in the front office for the Yankees or something.
Oh, he would love to be.
Well, look at that. They're signing each other's jerseys. I bet you like to get your hands on that. A Judge Chiefs jersey. Could you get that if you wanted to from him? Is it that kind of deal?
No, probably not. But, I mean, if I really, really wanted to, maybe. But
right.
That's a lot.
Maybe Kelce would be nice enough to give it to you.
No, I don't want that.
Oh, you don't?
You don't want the fake
Yankees.
Got the
name Yankees on the back.
You want the Chiefs.
So you bought me a fake Yankees jersey?
No. What?
My name's in the back of mine.
That one is sweet, though.
Yeah, it's sweet, but like, you bought me a fake one now?
If I'm trading jerseys with somebody, I'm going to trade a real jersey. I just bought you that because I lost the bet.
Oh, okay.
What kind of bet are we talking about here?
I think it was.
It wasn't even a bet. He goes, if Judge hits a home run tonight,
I'll buy him a
jersey. I'm going to buy you a jersey.
It's a proclamation.
I said, all right, sounds good.
I need something to cheer for. I need Sherman to be on the same board as me.
So what jersey number would you get if somebody was going to give you a – or what player would you want to trade jerseys with from the Yankees?
On the Yankees?
Yeah.
Right now? That's a good question. I would say Anthony Volpe, the young gun.
That's who you'd want, huh?
I think that's who I want. I think he's going to be a future Yankee captain when Judge is out of there.
You're putting him as a rookie. That's a lot of expectations. You don't think he's going to crumble under that kind of pressure in New York?
I don't think so. He's lived up to it so far with spring training, and he's handled everything the right way. And I mean, Judge is kind of getting. I mean, he's 31 years old right now. So
you're already making him the captain. That's all. Sounds like an unreasonable
like
Yankee.
Ten more years.
10 years.
Somebody clip it.
All right.
I mean, we're looking ahead.
We're looking up really ahead.
Right.
Those C's don't get passed out. You know what I mean? Like this isn't Little League, buddy. Like you got to earn that thing.
No. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
Those seeds don't get passed out.
So
buddy.
We know he's a huge baseball fan. And he claims that he could be a manager at the major league level.
C stands for Captain Marco.
And make it to you. Are you a baseball guy? Or do you like baseball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicken.
You a Royals fan? Or are you a fan?
I'm a just baseball fan. So if you know, I'll. I grew up trying to be different, and living in Massachusetts, I always cheered for the Yankees because I just didn't want to be on the same bandwagon as everyone else.
Taking a lot of heat for that back then?
I did. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And then, obviously, you know, still a Red Sox fan and Royals now because they're hometown team. So I'd love to see the Royals do great this year and win a World Series.
All right, so let's get that's the elephant in the room. I'm done with this already. Now here we go. You played your football at UConn. You're a UConn guy, and you still support that basketball program.
Oh yeah,
you love it when they do. Well, we talked about this. UConn has won four national championships since 1999. If they win this year, that's five in 24 years. The only other two teams, the only other two programs to win that many national championships in a 25-year span are UCLA with John Wooden and then Duke and Coach K. So that's rarefied air.
Yeah.
Right? Five champions. How many does Kansas have? Real ones, not the.
What do you mean, real ones? Why aren't those real?
The old, you know,
the Helms Foundation the was absolutely
ones. Aren't those
real.
Made up ones or not?
What do you mean made up?
I don't know. I just like
they're made up. They're not. Right? They're not the competition that it is now.
Yeah, so. Kind of like how every college football national championship that's ever happened's made
but
up.
But wasn't that they just say, hey, we're national champions? Isn't it just you declare yourself?
No, the champions? Helms Foundation declared them national champions. They didn't do it themselves.
So they didn't actually do anything. They were just given the national championship?
Exactly the way that college football, you know,
it used to be.
I kind of agree with Nate on this one. That when you just got the, you know, you pick two teams to be in the national championship and then call it a national championship, it's kind of the same. Now, the playoff system's not much better right now because there's only four teams.
Yeah.
Once we start getting into, you know, I think it's 12 teams they're going to do, that will be a better indicator to who the real national
championship
is.
And for the vast majority of college football history, they literally just voted on who the national champion was. Oklahoma, when I go down to watch, you know, Todd Lebo's Oklahoma football team, they got all these national championship years up there, and they were all voted on. They won one BCS national title, and that was one.
Well,
that
just
was, you know,
set us straight. How many do they have?
I think they got seven? I don't know.
Four.
Well, 52, 88, 08.
I'm looking at the NCAA website, and it says four.
Yeah, and then they got two Helms national titles as well.
And then that one COVID one.
He thinks he knows
COVID
more than
the
COVID one. No,
that
I'm not one of those guys. I'm not taking the
I
COVID
speak for
one.
The fans.
He thinks he knows more than the NCAA website. It says four.
I'm going to be against him just because I like messing with Nate, but I kind of agree with the college football aspect.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, but we're talking basketball. This is
they have four. So UConn will, by the end of the weekend or Monday, because if I say it wrong, Marco will correct me. By Monday, we'll have five.
Okay, so this is what it says here. All I can go by is the NCAA. All right, just shoot the messenger. UCLA has 11. Kentucky has 8. North Carolina has 6. And then Duke and Indiana have 5. Kansas and UConn right behind them with 4. You win, that's 5. Then you got more than Kansas, and you're there tied with Duke. You're tied with Indiana. All these teams around you are called blue bloods.
Yeah.
But Nate, and we talked to Greg Gurley, and the Kansas fans and other fans, they don't want you in their club. They don't want to call you blue bloods. And I'm just curious, why not? Why can't – how come UConn's not a blue blood if they're winning all these national championships?
Well, they are.
Not according to – Nate, what do you say? Is that a blue
blood? How are they not?
He said not consistent enough.
Need a little more history, need a little more consistency.
Consistency on what? Winning a bunch of regular season games, losing to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament, and then losing second round in the tournament?
Hold on.
I'm just saying, like, this is what – I mean, yeah, Kansas wins a lot of regular season games, which is great. It's awesome. But at the same time, they don't – they've only had four national championships. So they do the same thing in the tournament. They lose, and then they either blame the refs or – they don't play at Allen Fieldhouse, so they don't get every call.
I will take you off the hook. But you know that not just Kansas, but the fans of most of these schools,
look,
they've made this a very exclusive club that they don't want UConn a part of, even though UConn's banging down the door.
Well, what does it mean to be a blue blood?
Well, I don't know. That's just what you guys call yourselves. I don't know. Hell, I don't know.
I hear that term all the time. Well, like, what does it mean? Gary, what do you think some of the criteria are if you want to be a blue blood program?
I mean, I have no idea.
Do you think UConn is a blue blood?
I don't care.
I think it would be
a historic
basketball program that has changed the way basketball is played.
If you have five national championships in 24 years, you start your own club. Don't let them in.
Yeah,
right?
Good, I guess. Yeah, I just. What do you think the criteria is to you?
You think they need like
blood?
A longer?
I think that history. You know, does matter. Getting to 25 years, you're getting closer and closer. But I also think that one of the things, I mean, look, we all know that one of the flaws with college basketball is that we we put too much emphasis on a one-and-done tournament at the end in which it takes a little bit of luck to win the title. Somebody can get hot, and we overemphasize that, you know, somebody gets hot and they have a good run, and then all of a sudden, oh, they won the national championship like they were this great team the whole year. And that's not always the case. Most of the time, it's not the case. So you had some great runs in the tournament, but then you have all these other years where you don't even make the tournament. You know, like you got a five-year stretch without even making the tournament in the middle of all this.
How methodically he's taking apart. You had a couple good runs, got lucky.
I'm looking at it as if I'm going to make the tournament, I might as well win the thing.
Yeah.
You know, you can make the tournament, get everyone excited, have all the fans travel, lose day two, day three, you know, second weekend, and then what you're just going to say? Oh, because it was a bad game. We didn't play well.
You judge by championships. Okay, you do not like college basketball. You love baseball.
Correct.
Well, how do you judge the Yankees? Do they win a championship?
That's the only way I judge them.
You wanted to fire everyone last year after the playoffs, didn't you?
I don't care how you wanted to ship them all out. ALCS, not good enough.
Did you care about the regular season?
You could win 120 games.
So we're kind of there with the Chiefs. I mean, if...
That's right.
Regardless of how great the regular season and a couple of playoff games go, if they don't win the Super Bowl, it's kind of a disappointment.
When they lost to the Bengals, we had people in this office wanting to jump off this balcony. It's unbelievable.
You look about all the Hall of Fame quarterbacks that don't have rings, and there's always a question. Like even with Coach Reed,
yeah.
He's had an unbelievable career. And until he had won his first Super Bowl, they were like, well, we think he might get in the Hall of Fame, but he's got no Super Bowl rings. Everything is off of a championship.
How often does Shaq bring that up to Charles Barkley? How many times does Charles have to hear that from everybody? No rings, no, and he has to wear it. The championship is everything, Nate. You know that. Come on.
It's not everything. It's most. It's a lot of it, but it's not everything. There's other things.
If you're talking about a team, it's everything.
So what are we – we're going to give, like – Vada boys?
So you guys don't think it matters at all that the Chiefs have won? Like, how many times have they won the AFC West in a row now?
No, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Wow.
No.
The fact that the Chiefs own the AFC West and win it every single year just means nothing.
Yeah.
Not at this point. No, you're right.
These guys have a taste for championships now.
No, but I'm saying, like, yeah, say they win the AFC West again, and then they lose
first round
in the divisional round. I mean, you're gonna be okay with that?
There's a difference between being okay with it, though, and acknowledging an accomplishment. See, like, I'm surprised to hear you guys say that as guys that know how hard it is to go win a football game, to say that just winning a football game doesn't mean anything unless it's the Super Bowl.
Of my friends out there that were on the 90s Chiefs, Tim Grunhard, Christian, I love all of you, all right? But you know as well as I do, when that stat would come up, you know, the Chiefs won the second most games in the 90s, but the first thing was, where was the Super Bowls? That's how they remember. Lynn Elliott.
But are they remembered the same as the Todd Haley team that won two games?
Well, no, they're terrible.
So there's a difference, right? Like, that team was an embarrassment. I'm proud of those teams from the 90s. I love those teams. The whole city loved those teams. It was heartbreaking and disappointing, but we all know they were good football teams. They just weren't great.
But they didn't get to their goal.
Yeah, they weren't great. And you guys get to say you were great because you won the Super Bowl. I get, like, it is the most important thing. I'm just saying it's not the only thing. I do think there's room to understand that, like, winning your division is winning something. You know, winning the AFC is winning something.
So you just consider, Kansas, you consider the regular season an accomplishment.
All those conference championships mean a hell of a lot to me. Yeah, I think that's a hell of an accomplishment to win a conference as tough as the Big 12 and to do it like year after year after year after year. I think that means something. Yeah, I think that matters. Making it to the NCAA tournament every single year so that your team feels like they have a chance, I think that matters. Like this Chiefs run right here. To me, like where the Chiefs have been over the past, this Andy Reid era versus the Eagles have been to a couple Super Bowls, but the Chiefs are like in it every year. I think that does. The fact that they made it to the AFC Championship game every year, that sets them in a different place to me than, like, the Eagles. So, the Super Bowl part's the most important part, but I think that other stuff matters.
I don't think we celebrate as players. Like, we didn't celebrate going to the AFC Championship. We didn't celebrate winning the division.
No, you celebrated winning the AFC Championship that first time because that was the Lamar Hunt Trophy, and they had never won it.
Oh, no, yeah, I celebrated it, but the second year after I won the Super Bowl, I gave my AFC championship away for charity.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What was it, you get a ring?
You get the AFC championship ring, but it didn't, I mean, what am I going to do with that one? Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I can see what you're saying, but at the same time, if you don't,
once you get a championship.
Once you get a championship, none of that stuff matters.
Once you get that taste.
So this is what I asked him, so he could put his money where his mouth is. And so since 1999, I said, would you, if UConn wins Saturday and Monday, if they win title number 5 since 99, mm-hmm. would you have rather been a UConn fan since 99 or a Kansas fan since 99? How many Kansas wins since 99? Two?
Two.
So would you rather be a team that won 2 championships in 24 years or 5 championships in 24 years? And he didn't blink. He said Kansas. And so he's stood behind that. So that tells you everything, that he'd rather have 2 national championships and a whole bunch of conference championships versus 5 national championships and some years that you didn't make the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, we can even go to the fact of, is the Big 12 the best basketball conference out there, or is it the Big East?
We were told the Big 12, but I'm not sure that was accurate.
I mean, look at the Big East every year. They got tournament teams. They had 2 teams in the Elite 8.
Now, Nate, I didn't misquote you. You said that, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I stand by
it. So tell them why. Your case.
Look,
Is he wrong, Gary Dieter? First, let me ask you, is he wrong? Is he wrong?
Everybody's got their own opinion, I guess.
What would you rather have?
Buddy, I need the championship.
He needs championships, Nate.
It doesn't do it for me.
He needs championships. Other stuff doesn't do it for him. Now make your case.
Well, look, I think that Kansas has won 2 national championships during that time, and I don't know how many conference championships.
Too many to count.
Probably close to 20.
Right.
And then Big 12 tournaments on top of that, and they've been in the NCAA tournament every single year during that stretch.
Participation trophies.
Which might mean
the Big 12 kind of weak, though, if one team's winning it for 20-something years straight.
That was a narrative for a while.
That was definitely the narrative
Baylor
for a while.
So I've never been to Allen Field. Do they put the Big 12 championship banners on the wall?
So here's the thing about Kansas. They have so many.
I'm just asking,
at a lot of schools, if you win a conference title, they put a banner up just for that conference title.
Yeah.
At Kansas, they have a banner that says conference titles and then just the years listed under that one banner because they just got way too many. There's not enough space.
Yeah, UConn has
the
same
rafters,
thing on their,
you know,
their walls. A big, like, almost whiteboard where it's just filled up with stuff because they got their women's basketball program, too.
Yeah. And so at Kansas, like, they've got one for Final Fours. They don't have, like, you don't get an extra banner just because you made the Final Four. There's a banner for all the Final Fours they made. They made it to 6 Final Fours during the stretch we're talking about, too. So it's not like they haven't. Look, yes, I would rather have 5 national championships than have 2. But you're asking me, in totality, which one would I take? I as a fan.
But why wouldn't UConn be considered a blue blood?
Right.
During that stretch, there's a 5-year period where they didn't even make the tournament. That's a 5-year stretch of irrelevance. You know, and I do think that being relevant matters. Whoa. You know,
was there any NCAA sanctions?
I don't believe so.
During that time frame?
I can't remember all the different.
I feel like there might have been.
Well, you're talking about for UConn or
for
Kansas?
For UConn. Well, the Kansas
one's
coming.
He got defensive
coming.
All of a sudden.
Kansas is the one. That one's coming.
We're still waiting for him.
I mean, I like Bill Self and the self-imposed 5 games. Hopefully it takes a little bit off, but.
I think that's all they should do. They don't need to add any more.
I think that's still coming.
I remember there was an issue with Calhoun at the end. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah,
honestly.
I think there was like a 2-year like ban. And Marco's sleeping back there.
Marco's
so
feverishly looking.
So they were banned from the 2013. I want to say the 2013 NCAA tournament because they failed. You know what? I got to do some more reading. It wasn't 2013.
Oh, well, here we go. is our crack research.
Let's try to figure it out live on the air.
Well, you guys are the one.
Well, no, I just was trying to get you to partake.
He's over
a little
there
bit.
Sleeping. No, this is you got to take some reading before you can just start spewing.
And it didn't have to be like I asked Greg. He didn't consider them blue bloods. Everyone I've asked, nah, they're not really blue bloods.
Honestly,
you're the gatekeeper here, and Anthony Sherman just wants to know why.
I'm just trying to twist his tits over there a little bit.
He's a different word. Kids are listening.
But I just think, look, honestly, the blue blood thing is an annoying. Like, what does that even mean? So is Indiana a blue blood because they got more history?
I don't know. You're the one that throws it around.
Yeah, I don't really care. I think that Connecticut, if you win five, it's a ridiculously impressive accomplishment, and they deserve to be considered every bit the college basketball power that all the other schools have. UCLA's got all these national titles, but when was the last time they won one? 25 years ago? You know, so
I think that's great.
I mean, I'm actually quite a fan of the UConn program, both men's and women's. And I actually do think that it increases Connecticut's status as a blue blood, the fact that they're so good at both, men's and women's.
Yeah, facilities are really nice.
You know, I mean,
too.
It's a basketball school, you know.
Yeah, I hate to say that, but I have to agree with the basketball school.
But it has nothing to say about this, Gary Dieter.
I mean, these guys are just going back and forth. There's only one way to settle this, and you guys know what I'm talking about.
He's right. He's absolutely right.
I think we could all just agree that we were glad to see Alabama lose in the tournament, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, all I care about was Creighton, so.
Yeah.
They got
screwed. What'd you think of that call?
They got screwed.
It's tough to call it, but, I mean, can you make an argument as a foul? Yeah. Can't be mad.
Man, this is what I said. I was ready. So, boy, on Monday, I'm going to blast that call. That was crap. But then, you know, they show the replay, and you saw it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone was all up in arms because, you can't call that at the end of the game. You can't call that. Because, so I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is eerily similar to what we talked about with the Super Bowl, so I got to be consistent. Mm-hmm. Great call.
Yep.
No, right on.
I mean,
amen.
Yeah, it's you just.
It was kind of the same thing.
You hate to see them call that. But if it is a foul, they have to do their job.
Right? Because what were Eagles fans saying? Hey, you didn't call that all game long, then you call it there.
Yeah.
You can't call it in that situation. And then what were fans saying? Watch it. They didn't call that all game long. You can't call it there. But theoretically, the hand was on the hip.
Yeah.
And he kind of grabbed him a little bit.
Right. Well, I just like, it's just, if it's a foul and it's there, then call it. If not, then don't call it. Like, if you're going to call it, call it. And I don't know if there's people that have watched the entire game for both aspects and see that stuff not getting called and then getting called. Like, I don't think there's really someone that's going to go out there and see if that foul hadn't been called the entire basketball game.
Right.
Or if there was less called as a foul in that situation. Like, so you just can't just jump on. I mean, I know you got your fans that want to get on board with whatever just to give an excuse, but same time, it's a foul.
Gary Dieter, how much faith do you have that UConn's going to win it all? I'm talking about DraftKings Sportsbook faith.
I'm going FAU.
Wow.
Owls.
Win it all?
Yeah.
Win the whole thing?
What are their odds?
We'll take a look. You know what? Let's take a look at that. Marco will have that information, we hope.
Will he?
Maybe not. After this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's opening day, Thursday, March 30th, 2023. Coming up later on the show, Tommy James and the Shondells are headlining Kauffman Center on Saturday night. Tommy James is also going to throw out the first pitch at the Royals game on Saturday, and he'll be on the show, calling the show at 9:30 to talk about that opportunity to throw out the first pitch of the Royals game and then his concert at Kauffman Center on Saturday night. We've got Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in studio. All right, so there's been a lot of hand-wringing. I wouldn't say panic, but a lot of people that are still waiting for the Chiefs to address wide receiver, and it hasn't happened. And so people, I think, are overreacting on social media, shockingly. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about Odell Beckham Jr., DeAndre Hopkins, whatever free agents remained are pretty much gone now. DJ Chark is signed, and Nelson Aguilar signed, and so there's just really nothing else left out there that are free agents. And so even though you've said in the past you think they're going to make a splash and get one of those big names, do you still believe that, or are you starting to think that maybe they're just going to wait until the draft to address wide receiver?
I think they're both viable options. I mean, Coach Reed talked a little bit about Odell the other day and said they'd be happy with the guys that they have, but, I mean, it's always good to add a good football player. So I think they just, I mean, man, it's tough to say. I think Odell's heating up with other teams, it seems like, Jets, Browns. D-Hop, the one is, I mean, that's kind of been the one that's a little weird because you don't really hear much about it. So maybe that's the one that's going to happen is D-Hop because you don't really hear anything about it. But I don't know. I think they're both viable options still, though.
If you had to put money on one of these guys to have the better year as far as production, catches, yards, such as whatever, who do you have more faith in, Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore?
Kadarius Toney.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But the only question would be, does he stay on the field?
Correct. Health, yeah.
What are your hopes or expectations for Sky Moore? Can he take a big step forward?
I think it all just depends on what role he's going to be playing. Because, I mean, if Kadarius Toney, like they've said, is going to have that expanded role with, like, getting more routes like Tyreek had, then usually, like, I mean, Sky would be the number three receiver behind Kelsey. Those guys don't really get too much opportunity to really make a splash on games. They'll have a couple big plays, as you've seen in the past with kind of McColl's role. But consistent route running, consistently getting those routes, unless Kadarius Toney gets injured, I don't see Sky having probably 500 yards, 600 yards.
They talked when he got drafted about the idea of him being one of those little slot receivers that you've seen with other teams that the Chiefs don't seem like they really ever had.
Yeah.
You're shaking your head. You don't see that in him, or is that just not something that the Chiefs would look to do?
I just don't think that's like a Chiefs offense type guy. I mean, like, that's Kelsey. Kelsey's always going to have all the little shake routes, anything over the middle, anything short. You saw a little bit of Juju get involved with some of those routes last year, but at the same time, those are Kelsey's routes, and unless Kelsey's not on the field, then maybe somebody else like him could get those routes. But Kelsey's getting everything under 15 yards, and that's just how it's always been with the Chiefs.
Okay, something else that was a big topic this week was the NFL announcing that teams can now have two Thursday night football games per season. Previously, the limit was one, and so now that's officially changed. And they had discussed flexing for Thursday night football. That's not going to happen yet, but when they reconvene in a couple of months, they're going to. That's still on the table, so that's still a possibility. But the NFL was criticized for that. Players like J.J. Watt criticized the announcement. Patrick Mahomes retweeted that and put a face palm, and so he clearly wasn't a big fan of it. What's your reaction to now teams having two Thursday night football games per season instead of one?
So much for player safety.
Right.
I mean, you make all these rules to special teams, or you're trying to make your whole big push is player safety and keeping guys safe. It's hard enough to play one Thursday night game. And now you want to make it where they can play two, and there's not a feasible way to flex to a Thursday night. You just cannot have a team play on Sunday, or even the week before, be like, hey, it was supposed to be Sunday, now we're going to go Thursday. Like, guys, you can't do that to guys with injuries, with game plans, with coaches. Like, it's just not like that week.
It sucks for fans too.
Well, yeah, I mean, because no one wants to have a Sunday at noon game, and then it goes to Thursday night, and now you got to figure out a whatever sitter, or kids got school the next day, whatever it is. It's going to be really hard for fans. But then also that week, if I know you guys have been around it a little bit, but like that week is crazy when you come from a Sunday night or Sunday to a Thursday. You're in the building by 3 o'clock the next day, going through walkthroughs. You have one real practice. You travel, or you go to the team hotel, whatever it is, and then you play. I mean, yeah, the weekend's nice because you get it off, But, like, that it's not, you can't do it.
Like, Tim Grunhard would always tell us that for his normal game week, especially after he was in the league for a few years, he wouldn't really start to feel good until Thursday or Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a real thing.
Right?
I mean, like, I didn't obviously get as many reps as Kelsey, but I can guarantee you Kelsey doesn't start feeling good, you know, and feeling back to normal until Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's why Coach Reed tries to do the best he can and getting our work done, but at the same time, like, you know, taking, you know, later in the season, bringing some of those reps down and making it a little bit shorter and changing the style of practice from a full pads to a glorified walkthrough, jog through, just to get those guys recovered in time to play and be their best on Sunday.
What about you, Gary Dieter?
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I'm just trying to think of a way that they could do it. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know if how it would work, but could you just have the second Thursday game after like a bye week? That way, it's not.
See, I think
I don't know logistically how.
I guess you could
work.
Do that.
I think the Thursday night games that come after a bye week, or like say the Chiefs will play Thursday night to open the season, right? That doesn't count against their Thursday night the allotment, right?
Yeah,
because it's coming after, you know, a full week of rest or a full offseason rest. And so if you play a Thursday night game after say a bye week, it doesn't count against that one or two limit that they've had.
Well, I think I saw some guys tweet, didn't we play two Thursday, you know, last year? Well, it's because you played Thanksgiving and then you had a whole week to prepare for the next Thursday.
Right.
So
that doesn't count against the
limit. It doesn't count as against the limit, but at the same time, you just cannot. Thursday night it's a moneymaker for the NFL. They don't care about the players in that aspect.
And for the most part, Nate's pointed this out many times, the level of play suffers on Thursday night too.
Yeah, because guys aren't physically there yet to have their body recovered from the last week to get out there and be at their best. The following, what, 4 days later? I mean, it is hard enough late in the season to get your body ready for a Sunday game, especially when you've got, you know, over 1,000 reps or say on your body at that point. And they just want to make more money and make it where you play more Thursday night games, because they don't necessarily care, because people are turning in, watching it, and paying for the games.
So, look, I don't want to stand up for the NFL.
Come on, do it.
Because at the end of the day, it is, you're right, it is about the almighty dollar. I mean, that's what determines these things. But when it comes to saying they want to make more money, what I think this is, they got a $1 billion a year deal from Amazon already. And what Amazon discovered last year is this product sucks compared to the average NFL. Like, the NFL is the best product in American sports, right? Like, we all know it. When you watch, to me, there's no better hour of television than the red zone witching hour from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock when you get all those fourth quarter games happening, and at least three or four of them are just unbelievable games coming down the stretch, and you just can't believe how did the NFL create such a wonderful product. And Amazon wanted in on that. But what they didn't realize is they were getting Thursday night football. And Thursday night football, it's like we all watch it because there's football on and it's the NFL, and then we all sit there and go, man, this doesn't look like it does on Sundays. And I feel like even you could hear it. And Al Michaels sounded like he wanted to fall asleep all last year because he was used to doing, like, Sunday night football, you know? And it was like, man, this product isn't any good. And I think what happened is Amazon is like, look, this sucks. And they're trying to figure out how to make it better because they put all this money into it. And so how do we make it better? Well, you got to let us have more flexibility with what teams we get. That's the answer that they're coming up with
right now. Well, Amazon needs to do a better job of getting that thing streaming correctly.
They certainly have some growing pains of their own. But I just think, to me, they're handling it like, okay, so let's, because their idea is, well, let us have the Chiefs more often. We only get to have them once.
Yeah.
Let us have the Chiefs twice. Because they don't want to have the crap teams, you know? And then they want to have, and the thing that's also great about the NFL, but what makes it tough is, you don't know who the good teams are going to be at the beginning. We didn't know the Eagles were going to be the best team in the NFC when we started the year last year. Some teams, like, the Chiefs are going to be good. But a lot of it's going to be a surprise, right? So they want to be able to do that. But I think that the point that you guys are making is the Chiefs are always great to watch, but they're not as great to watch on Thursday night as they are on a Sunday.
The NFLPA needs to stand up a little bit and do something about this because everyone wants to harp on player safety. But and then this was the this was one of the big topics when it first came out. How safe is it to play 4 days later? And no one wants to say anything because everyone's pockets are getting filled up with money. And it needs to stop with, hey, we're just going to put you out there on Thursday night, or we're going to travel you across the country, or we're going to travel you overseas to play in a game because it's going to make a ton of money. My opinion is everyone's excited about the Chiefs going to play in Germany, but the Chiefs fans don't realize is they're losing a home game at Arrowhead because of it.
Oh, I think the fans realize it.
Well.
But here's the thing, though. Are any of the players turning down the, like, increased revenue? I mean, because every time that they get a new CBA and the salary cap goes up, the players benefit from that. They're not walking away from that
money. Well, then let's get rid of the discussion of player safety then.
It's a balance, right?
I mean, you can't have both. Let's just get rid of player safety and just say, hey, we're gonna keep the old kick. We're gonna keep old football, and you guys are gonna get paid well.
Hey, to admit though, Sherm, this game the game that's being played today is far safer than it was for the guys that played in the 80s. Those guys didn't play on Thursdays and they didn't have to travel internationally. People are walking out of the game far healthier today than they were.
Oh, I would agree with you. Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, is it going to stay like that with two Thursday night games? Is it going to stay like that with all the travel and the lack thereof, the protection of the players? I mean, they made a huge emphasis on player safety, and they've done a great job of that so far. But they added another regular season game. Now they're adding two Thursday night games, so it's like,
mm-hmm.
when is it going to stop? And be actually truly on player safety.
Well, they're going to do the things from a player safety standpoint that don't get in the way of revenue.
100%.
Make you wear the goofy helmets during training camp.
Yeah,
outlaw certain types of hits.
You know, yeah.
You know what I
mean?
Because those things
don't
get into their pockets.
It's like when is it for them really going to be like, when the players and the PA going to be like, okay, well, listen, we're okay with all this player safety because it has done a great job in keeping guys safe and playing longer and playing better and playing faster. But last year you added another game.
Mm-hmm.
This year you want to add two Thursday night games. Like, when is it going to end where we're like, no, we're not doing it? Like, it doesn't matter. We need to figure out a way to, however it is, we're not doing it.
We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A great lady once sent a CD to Todd Lebo featuring a couple of songs she had performed about baseball, and that was one of them.
That was great.
15 years ago. She had another one. You have the other? Life is a Ball Game. It gets you fired up for opening day. So
if it doesn't get you excited for opening day, I don't know what will.
I don't think you know what, you don't know what will, do you?
I don't.
Play it. Let's hear this one.
Life is a ball game.
Life is a ball game. We play it every day.
Right.
Life is a ball game. Everyone complains. Yes, life is a ball game, but you gotta play it fair.
How would you describe the look on Gary's face right
second
now?
Base I think he's just sin. Trying to take it all in.
Yeah. Third base tribulation.
Wait till you wait.
And guess who's at the home plate?
She's trying.
Waiting for you there. Right. Jesus.
See?
You can make it home with a lot of prayer.
Happy opening day to everyone out there. Baseball with a Message.
What's your favorite ballpark food? You're sitting in the stands, not a suite.
Gotta have a hot dog.
If I'm going to a Royals game, Topsy's Popcorn is the first stop. I love Topsy's Popcorn. I love a fresh popcorn. I don't like the trash bag popcorn. I like the fresh stuff. And Topsy's, they'll put butter all over it, get a limeade. It's my favorite.
Never even heard of it.
Oh, man.
I might have to try it.
I wasn't really going with the popcorn. He wants to make some bottomless popcorn joke over here.
No, just, put butter all over it.
Man. I love movie theater popcorn, and Topsy's is the best. So I love that. I like the helmet nachos.
Well, that's baseball. Give me a hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dogs are great.
Give me a beef on bun. Give me a hot dog. Come here.
Pretzel?
I have a pretzel.
Pretzel?
Sure, I have a pretzel. I mean, hot dog nachos, like what? What, Marco?
I'm not buying no pretzel.
How about this? Look
at
this.
That's one of the biggest wastes of money at a concession stand, man.
What?
And the salt that they put on it? No.
Well, tell them no salt.
Well, either way, I'm not getting a pretzel, so why would I even ask?
How about this?
Salt?
What do you get, Marco?
Buddy.
Would you eat this
buddy,
sandwich?
Fried bread.
This is
pay $6 for a circular fried bread.
Atlanta Braves. The cleanup burger, it serves four people, four all-beef patties, hash browns, a sunny-side-up fried egg, maple syrup, and hickory-smoked bacon on buttermilk Belgian waffles.
Give me that.
Here's what this looks like. How's that look? Serves four, but maybe two.
Yeah, I don't really.
Or just one.
I think it's just one.
Yeah.
I'm going with one.
You in on that?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting in on
that. Don't
you
feel like they try to get too crazy with some of those options, though? Like all these ballparks nowadays, it's like you have to have a cool looking one to post on social media.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what. Yeah, most of them.
Am I going to get it, and it's going to look like that, or is it going to be
it's
different?
Look like trash. Of,
it's not going to look like that.
You okay. Don't have to overcomplicate ballpark food. That's with you. A hot dog with some mustard on it. Boom.
Well, brat.
You just said you were getting popcorn and
stole his answer.
Popcorn on a hot dog.
Popcorn's complicated
with butter.
He's simple.
Why are you saying a hot dog? Now you don't want a hot dog. We gave
Leave
you five
You asked me what my favorite was. I can only pick one thing. I can only have one thing in the ballpark.
Popcorn's for movies.
Dippin' well, he's going to go.
Who the hell's eating popcorn at a baseball game?
I think I got Nate. He's going to walk in the stadium. He's going to get his popcorn.
Right off
and then
the
he's going to sit down, maybe get a beer, and then he's going to go back
up. He said a limeade.
Popcorn eat popcorn at the movie theater, the equivalent of that at a baseball
peanuts.
Game.
Peanuts.
It's peanuts.
You need peanuts.
You get your hand on them peanuts. That's what you eat at ball games.
You
all right?
You could throw them at fans.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Hey, buy me some popcorn and Cracker Jacks. Cracker Jacks is your popcorn.
Well, isn't Cracker Jacks kind of like a Cracker
Jacks? It is
popcorn and peanuts mixed together.
But right, but it's a special kind. It's not the
I don't like Cracker Jacks. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I like Cracker Jacks.
Leave it simple. Leave the ballpark food simple.
If I'm putting something on my popcorn, I like the caramel when it's mixed with the cheese. The cheese popcorn and caramel mixed together.
The Chicago mix.
The Chicago mix. But I'm more just a buttered popcorn guy. Just regular straight buttered popcorn.
Okay.
And helmet nachos.
Kauffman Stadium debuting these new items. See what you like here. A Korean corn dog. A corn dog prepared in a panko and corn chips mix served with sriracha ketchup.
Okay.
Anyone
I like that.
With that?
I like sriracha.
Yeah, I'm all set with that.
Nope. No? Why don't you like that?
Like Coach Reed said, give me a corn dog with ketchup and mustard.
You don't want the sriracha and the panko and corn.
You don't like spicy food?
I love spicy food.
I don't like spicy food.
How about a bullpen burger with onion rings and the famous bullpen sauce, which is...
I don't know what that means.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
What kind of sauce they make in the bowl.
Some kind of sauce. Yeah. That looks all right.
Try that.
It's fine.
What about new shareable nachos? I ain't sharing my nachos with nobody, but whatever. New shareable nachos. Tostitos chips with the choice of pulled pork, chipotle chicken, or beef with lettuce, green onions, hot sauce, cheese, sour cream, cheddar cheese, all this stuff. It looks like in a pizza box.
I like the pizza box.
Yeah. That is a pretty good idea.
It makes it easy to,
This guy wants it in a helmet.
You know what? That works better than the one thing about the helmet nachos is all the chips kind of gather at the bottom, and it's harder to with a bigger spread there with the pizza box.
And you can close that thing, put your drink on top.
I like the pizza box.
Right.
Side of peanuts.
I like the idea of a helmet nacho, but that works better.
You want the helmet.
Yeah.
You want to take home the helmet at the end of the day.
Dude, I've got like 25 of those old cheap plastic batting helmets because when I was a kid.
Ice cream?
Going to the games. The full-size ones because when I was a kid, my mom's system was if we ever got Royals tickets, my sister and I would each get $5. and that was your allowance. You could spend however you wanted at the game. And back, and that's how old I am. You could buy some peanuts and a Coke and maybe a malt, whatever. But the plastic batting helmets at the concession stand were $4.25. I would buy myself a plastic batting helmet from a different team every time. And I still got them all
That's cool.
In my basement. So I love the old plastic batting helmets.
I had the small ones because if you went to Dairy Queen during baseball season, they give you a sundae and a little small helmet. And then I would want the Royals and I would want the Montreal Expos because I like their
helmets. The Expos helmets were cool.
So, but yeah, the big ones were good too because I have a size 8 head and they would fit my head, unlike the snapbacks.
I don't think they would be good for protecting your head like in a real baseball game.
No, I split one open a couple times doing crazy stuff.
Not very sturdy.
Right. What do you want at the concession stand you went up there?
Just something simple.
Right.
Hot dog, beer.
How about a big tub of buttery popcorn for you?
I mean, I would. I would eat it.
Yeah, he'd eat it.
I'd eat it, but right. I wouldn't. It wouldn't be my first go-to at a ball game.
Oh, you guys don't like the smell of popcorn.
No. I'm not saying anything's wrong with what you said.
Oh. Right.
I'm just. That's not going to be my first
right.
choice.
You're right.
I feel like popcorn's more of like a soccer thing.
It is kind of. When I think of popcorn, I think of him running around kicking a ball, eating some popcorn. Yeah. That's right.
What does that even mean?
That's pretty much right.
Movie theater popcorn is.
See, that's what I associate it with. Give me popcorn. Give me nachos.
But I love the fact because what I don't like is I don't like the pre-popped trash bag popcorn that you get at a stadium. That stuff is garbage. It's stale. It's no good. The Topsies. That's what I like about it. The Chiefs have it too. That was always my first stop whenever I go to a Chiefs game. There's a Topsies stand right by where the seats are that we would go to.
It's first stop before he goes to seat. Right
dude,
to the popcorn.
Love me some Topsies. I'm sorry, fresh pop popcorn.
So you think the Yankees are going to win it all this year, huh? Be honest.
Yeah, I mean it's a long season, but that's the only thing that matters.
You want them to?
Oh no, I've got a. They wanted to win the division.
They won't.
We put a bet.
Who you got?
I get the rest of the East.
Scrubs.
And the Blue Jays look pretty good.
I'm just telling you how they
look.
The
Blue Jays, they can't get up. They don't have
I get
mark.
The
on
rest
paper,
of the
starting
East.
Pitching's,
yeah, I get the rest same. Of the East, and he has the Yankees.
They batted like two.
For a gentleman's bet of $500.
As a team last year, they batted like 270 combined, and these clowns can't get past
Springer.
The hump of beating the Yanks.
Springer, baby.
They don't have heart.
So what does he win when somebody else wins the East?
$500.
He just said that.
I wasn't paying attention.
Right, exactly.
Typical.
What was the bet again? We've got Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in studio. Fellas, happy opening day.
Happy opening day.
And let me tell you something.
Let's go Royals.
You're blue blood in my eyes.
I appreciate that.
It doesn't matter to me, though, I guess.
It does.
We will take a break. Back into this on WHB.